It had to have been several days since anyone had heard from him. To be honest, he wasn't really that well known. I mean, people knew who he was, but no one really knew him. He mostly kept to himself in that huge house behind the gates with all those big, ugly barns. The only times people saw the rich man were when he came to the market. He typically sent down a slave to purchase his regular groceries and stuff, you know, oil and fish, fruits and whatnot. But he always came in person when the wine merchants came to town. He loved to pick out the wine for himself. He would spend an entire afternoon sampling from each and every barrel. I can't figure out why he spent so much time sampling them all, because he always bought the whole lot anyway. No one could ever figure out what he did with all of it. Not just the wine, but the rare perfumes, the ointments, the fine oils, the tapestries, and all the clothes. He lived alone, no family, no friends that anyone was aware of. I can't remember a single banquet or feast or anything that happened up there. And he definitely didn't share it with his slaves or anything like that. We would have heard about that for sure. There were plenty of people up there working for him, not because he was particularly generous or loved in any way, but just because there was always work to be had. I mean, the building projects alone, barns on top of barns, silos next to silos, storehouses for his storehouses. At the time, it wasn't so bad. Those were pretty good days. Folks did all right, the builders and the carpenters especially. But then the building stopped. Once all the grain and the stuff had a place, there was no need for more construction. The work stopped, and so did the wages. That denarius a day kept people fed as long as they kept being paid, but it's been tough since then. No one actually expected him to die anytime soon. Well, I guess that's true of all sudden deaths. That's what makes them sudden. But it all just seems like a waste now. What was it all for? Those massive harvests, they seemed like a blessing from the Lord. We thought they would mean good times ahead for everyone. That denarius, that daily wage doesn't go very far, so we thought that this big bumper crop would have cut down on crazy high prices. We thought that the harvests would have meant a blessing for all of us. But it didn't turn out that way. I guess it was foolish for us to think otherwise. And now, it's all gone. Snatched up by anyone with the right connections. The tax collector? Boy, he made out like a bandit. I think he must have taken half of what was there. And those centurions, they were in the right place at the right time. They partied for days, throwing half-empty wine barrels off the top of the tallest barn just to watch them smash on the road. And all that grain, gone. No one even knows where it went. It would have made such a difference around here. But oh well. Now, all that's left is those barns. Those big, ugly barns. Reminders of all that wealth left behind. Reminders of that sad, lonely, selfish, vain, rich fool of a man. The quest for a comprehensive and consistent theology of God that runs through every single book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, something known as a true biblical theology, has been the work of scholars for centuries. And it's a hard thing to tease out, given the book's broad breadth of authors. However, there are a few truisms that are consistent throughout pretty much all of Scripture. One of them is, God cares about what you do with your wealth. God has strong feelings about how you use your resources. The story of the foolish rich man is not about the proper size of barns. It's about how hoarding resources and willfully keeping others poor is abhorrent to God. God cares about what you do with your wealth. This is especially true, as shown throughout the Gospel of Luke. Remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man. It's probably not the same rich man, but I think it's pretty telling that Luke doesn't choose to give either of them a name. In that story, the rich man walks by poor Lazarus every day, but he does not share his wealth to help lift Lazarus out of poverty. When both men died, Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham while the rich man was tormented. The parable is not about the geography of the afterlife. It's about how God wants us to use our extra money, whatever abundance we might have, to lift others out of poverty. Luke sees wealth and poverty in very black and white terms, perhaps differently than how we see them. Look no further than chapter 1, where Mary sings to her cousin Elizabeth, "He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away." Cast down, lifted up, filled, emptied. These simple binaries extend to the way Luke sees the economics of wealth and poverty. For Luke, who lived in a society without anything that looked like a middle class, extreme wealth by some directly creates extreme poverty for others. Every pound of grain that a rich person has meant that the poor had 1 pound less. We don't really see the world that way now. We live in an age and a place of relative abundance, of supermarkets with full shelves. If I take an extra loaf of bread from the store, that doesn't usually mean that someone behind me will go without. But in the ancient world, people lived in scarcity. 90% of people were slaves or day laborers, earning only enough, just about one denarius, to be able to feed themselves for that one day. It was a fight to survive, and if the rich kept all the grain for themselves, it meant that others would go hungry. Tragically, we're watching this play out right now in Eastern Europe. Grain that stuck in Ukrainian ports is threatening other parts of the world with famine. Our North Texas context is different from Luke's, so it's easy to miss the point that he's making. So here again, the last line of today's gospel. So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Now, hang on a minute. Isn't it possible for us to store up some treasures for ourselves and be rich toward God? It seems pretty straightforward to me. Work hard, spend less, save more, start pledging to the church. Invest your wealth, give to charitable organizations, buy a bigger house, keep working, keep saving, up your pledge to the church, retire, live within your means, die, and then leave a portion of your estate to the church. That's what we all want, right? That's what we, the clergy, tell you to do every stewardship season. It's what I'm trying to do. Build up those treasures while having enough treasures on earth to do what we want. That's the dream. But Luke is having none of it. It seems that he's telling us that we can't have both. Where we see worldly success, the result of our own sweat and toil, all Luke sees is big, ugly barns. Reminders that you can't take it with you when you go. Or to say it in another way, this too is vanity. So what do? Perhaps we listen to Jesus' first admonition. Before he tells the parable to the crowd, he tells them all to take care. Take care, he says, and be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Jesus didn't fault the rich man for having a harvest that was too plentiful, only for hoarding it. Take care that your earthly treasures don't get between you and the poor, or between you and Jesus. Take care that the choices you are making will make you rich toward God, storing up treasures in heaven. In Luke's parable this morning, we only hear about what storing up treasures on earth looks like. So I want to end with a favorite story about what storing up treasures in heaven looks like. In the 3rd century, the Church of Rome was blessed with a deacon who understood what it meant to be rich toward God. His name was Lawrence. He looked around, saw all the poor and hungry, the widows and orphans, and decided to sell the valuables from the church to help them. A greedy Roman prefect heard about what Lawrence was doing and demanded that he recover the valuables and hand them over to the Roman government. Lawrence was given 3 days to get these things back and present them to the prefect. When the time came, Lawrence appeared, but without any fine vestments or jeweled chalices. He brought with him the poor and the hungry, the widows and the orphans. The prefect looked at them and said, "What is all this?" Lawrence gestured around to the poor and replied, "These are the treasures of the church." Take care, Jesus tells us. Take care that when you go, when your life is demanded of you, that you have not succumbed to the same greed as the rich man. Take care to discern the difference between having enough and having too much. And only you can come up with where that line is. Take care that you use your abundance to fill the hungry and lift up the lowly. Take care to be more like Lawrence and less like one of Luke's cautionary tales.